former commission members. If any member of the commission has completed a written disclosure of a conflict of interest, the commission will consider the disclosure at this time. If any commission member wishes to verbally disclose an interest in a contract as defined in SDCL 3-23-1, a direct benefit from a contract as defined in SDCL 3-23-1 and 3-23-2, or any other conflict with any matter on today's meeting agenda, please identify the contract or other matter in which you have the conflict of interest and generally describe the nature of the conflict. Also, if during the meeting you become aware that you have a conflict of interest with any proposed contract or other matter, please notify the chair of the conflict and generally describe the nature of the conflict. If you disclose a conflict of interest, the commission must vote on whether the matter underlying the conflict is fair, reasonable, and not contrary to the public interest. You may not participate in the commission's discussion and vote on the conflict. Does anyone have a conflict of interest to disclose? Seeing none, let's move then to the agenda. And I think, first, John, you're going to explain the emergency rule process and we'll go from there.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, John Katelnik, staff attorney for Game Fish and Parks. Just kind of want to go over an overview for some of you who maybe aren't familiar with the emergency rule process and how we got here. So obviously our typical rule process includes a proposal followed typically by 60 days of comment, and then the commission takes finalization. Prior to that finalization, during the normal process, we have to have published in a newspaper for 20 days prior to that meeting the notice that the commission is going to act and change the rule. Well, there's statutes out there that take into account that sometimes that process can't be followed and something needs to be done sooner than that process would allow. So they have this emergency rule procedure, which brings us here today. So if certain conditions are met, namely, you know, safety, health, welfare, interests of the state, things like that, then we can go through this process. And what that process is basically a public notice. It's in the newspaper. We submit everything to the LRC. They have 3 days to turn around and give us it back. In this case, they turn around in 1 day, so their staff are really on it. So that's kind of a broad 1,000-foot overview of what the process looks like. So if the commission were to adopt this emergency rule, it would be effective immediately. Well, as soon as I file with the Secretary of State's office, it would be in effect for 90 days. At that point, it would just disappear. But I just want to remind the commission that you do have a proposal actually out there that mirrors this same emergency rule that will put it in permanently. So that's kind of the general overview of the process and why we're here with the emergency rule in front of you. So with that, I think I'll let Tom walk through the proposal.
Okay, thank you, John.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division Director, and I believe, commissioners, you have the action sheet was mailed to you electronically, so you should have it. It would be, again, as John described, emergency finalization related to the Aquatic Invasive Species chapter, and in particular here would be the addition of some bodies of water to the containment waters. Again, this is a result of zebra mussels being found in Pickerel Lake on July 10th of this summer, and resulting from that verification of zebra mussels. Again, as you're aware, and John just mentioned, we do have that as a proposal that was brought forward to you at the regular July commission meeting, going through the rules promulgation process, but the emergency action here is to put it in effect in a more expeditious manner for at least that 90 days until the rule promulgation process concludes and goes through that process. Interesting enough, almost a year ago to date, back in July 24th of 2019, we took similar action when zebra mussels were found on Lake Sharp. And we did the similar action as we're asking you here today to do that emergency action to put that in the containment waters. We did that for Lake Sharp and Francis Case again a year ago. So this is not an unprecedented action and request bringing in front of you today. So with that confirmation in Pickerel Lake, and obviously the fact that this lake connected to others, What you have in front of you are five different bodies of water that actually we talked about at your commission meeting here just a few days ago. And we're asking you to take the action to add these five bodies of water to the containment waters under the emergency action. And that would be the Minnewasta Lake in Day County, North Rush Lake in Day County, South Rush Lake in Day County, Pickerel Lake in Day County, and Wabay Lake in Day County. So that's the actual ask or proposal in front of you for finalizing under this emergency action would be the addition of those five lakes to the containment waters under the Aquatic Invasive Species Chapter and Administrative Rule. Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, in respect to this particular item, we're happy to answer any questions that you have. John Lott's on the phone as well, who has been our lead AIS person. I see Mike Smith is on the phone as well, if there are questions to you. But that's our ask of you today, to adopt these emergency rules to add these five bodies of water. And then, Mr. Chairman, also I would offer up to you before you take your final action, there's certainly several folks on the call here today. If somebody wanted to potentially speak on this particular topic to the commissioners, might be behooved to have those folks interject before you take your final vote or final action. But Mr. Chairman, we'll turn it back over to you, and we and John Lott, myself, and others, staff, will try to answer any questions that you may have on this action in front of you.
Thank you, Tom. Are there commissioners with questions or comments? How about others on this Zoom meeting or phone? Are there others that would like to comment or have questions?
Mr. Chairman, I see we have, I see Rosie's raising her hand there, and I see we have a couple people from the Lake Pickerel area that I'd be interested in hearing if, you know, what their thoughts are on this, if they'd be willing to speak up. Obviously not necessary, but I want to, again, put that out there for the couple people that I see on there. Please speak up if you are so willing to, and I'll, with that, I'm done, and I see Rosie's ready.
Hi, Rosie. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to see you here.
Yeah, yeah. I am happy to be here, and just want to offer our support from Glacial Lakes and Prairies Tourism, commissioners and Secretary Hepler. Anything we can do to work with the department when it comes to educating fishermen that are coming to our area, whether it be at potential travel shows next year or through our visitor's guide or website, anything we can do to help educate, promote, and share, we're happy to do that, and happy to work with you and support this addition of these lakes to the containment area. Obviously, we're disappointed that it's turned up in the Glacial Lakes region as part of that meeting just a little over a week ago, but we're happy to help in any way that we can.
Good. Well, thank you very much. How about, are there folks here from Pickerel, around Pickerel, that would like to talk to this issue?
I'm Dan Loveland from Pickerel Lake Conservancy, and just want to express our support as well for adding Pickerel Lake as a containment water. Pickerel Lake Conservancy's mission really revolves around protecting Pickerel Lake and the water quality in particular for Pickerel Lake. We've been heavily engaged already to this point in both educational and other efforts to try to protect this resource. And now as we move into a new chapter with the zebra mussels already found within Pickerel Lake, we expect to continue to work with Game Fish and Parks and other interested parties to see what we can do to help contain this to Pickerel Lake and protect the other lakes in the region.
Thank you, Dan. Anyone else like to speak to the subject? Anyone else? Then we will, or Commissioner Whitmire?
Mr. Chair, yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, I'm on board with everything here. I just wanted to ask Tom and Kevin. We were at a AIS presentation last year. I don't recall if it was a special meeting or part of the commission meetings regularly scheduled, but there was a presentation of the violations when we do spot check watercraft. And to my knowledge, it is probably a little more prevalent for fishermen to be cognizant of that water in their live well or what have you, versus the other recreational uses. And so if I recall correctly, we were having a higher incidence of ticketing the non-fisherman use, I guess, you know, the jet ski kind of thing, or water ski boats, that kind of thing. Can either of you or anyone else, I guess, in the call kind of address just kind of what's behind all that and where we typically find people that are forgetting to do that dreaming?
Commissioner Whitmer, I'll take the first stab, and I'll have John Lott chime in here as well if he has some additional information. I believe some of that is just purely by natures of our primary customers from an agency standpoint. Obviously, our anglers are very well connected to GF&P, and those that are more recreational boaters or recreational crafts out there that are not necessarily anglers, it's not probably as easy to connect with them and message with them and get the information out to them. But we've certainly enhanced efforts on that. We're continuing to enhance our communications with those individuals that do those types of recreational activities out on the water as well, beyond the anglers, obviously. So it's probably not surprising that we find those folks maybe less educated or less informed than probably our angling folks, that whether we hit them with email blasts from knowing we have them within our licensing system with their emails to, you know, our fishing guidebooks and other information that we have. But we understand the importance of those folks when we talk about this particular matter, and that's why we're continuing to work and continue to enhance our communication and outreach to those individuals as well, to make them more informed and more educated on the issue of aquatic invasive species and zebra mussels as well.
One thing to add there, Commissioner Whitmire, as well, is the watercraft inspection and decontamination checkpoints that we've conducted across the state. As to date, just in the last couple months, staff have inspected over 6,000 watercraft. It's been a really monumental effort, to say the least. We have crews scattered throughout, and through those efforts, I believe 145 citations have been written. So those are some of the numbers. And John Lott, if you want to kind of elaborate on some of those statistics, but all in all, the efforts in the department have been elevated exponentially when it comes to watercraft inspections and those decontamination sites.
Commissioner Locken, did you want to say something? And then we can go to John Lott.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, Lake Lemoore in North Dakota has found zebra mussels, and that's just upstream from us on the James River. Are we going to be looking at that sometime?
Commissioner Locken, I'll ask John Lott to respond to that, because I know he's been conversing with folks in North Dakota on information on that.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. With regards to Lake Lemoore, it is on the James River drainage. It's about, I think, 30, 40 miles into North Dakota. So over time, we are expecting that zebra mussels will move down the James River. One nice thing with the James is that it has a very low rate of flow compared to most streams, because it's the lowest slope of any river in North America, I believe. It changes only 1 foot per mile on average. But we are expecting that zebra mussels will move down the James River. What's interesting there is the James River is just on the western edge of the Prairie Coteau. We have a small number of waters that would drain into it, but you know, fortunately, the majority of the glacial lakes area and other areas of the state where we have a lot of recreational waters and fisheries are not in that chain, but that just heightens the reason for developing best behaviors on anglers. And just to echo what Kevin shared a little earlier, you know, one of the biggest things with those watercraft inspection stations is to educate and inform all types of boaters, how with their particular type of boat, to help practice the best practices and reduce the spread. And we've really learned a lot this year in terms of the messages we need to get out there for people, especially rec boaters, and that will help us moving forward with that messaging.
John, one more question.
Sure, go ahead.
How many of these boats have been, how many live mussels have we found on these 6,000 inspections? Does anybody know?
Through the chair, Commissioner Locken, I have not been informed of any adults that have been found on a boat that we have inspected. That does not mean it has not happened. The majority of the inspections that we do, if it's not aquatic vegetation that we're removing, it's for boats that are considered higher risk because they've either been in an infested water or they're likely to still contain water. But to the best of my knowledge, we have not had an adult zebra mussel found on a boat as a part of the inspections this year.
John, those 145 violations or tickets that were written, were they all for boat plug issues or was it more than that? Do you know?
Mr. Chairman, I think that is something that I don't know if Kevin has the information, but we would certainly be able to get that for you from the law enforcement a database we maintain.
Just wondering, trying to get to the point of the purpose of these inspections and what's on the list, what are we looking for, and then what are the possible violations or citations that might come from that inspection, and what would it cost somebody if they get a citation?
Chairman Jensen, we do have a law enforcement member on the call. Blake, if you want to just kind of give your experience with that to the commission, that'd be great. I believe Blake was on the call. He just texted me, so we might be having troubles. Chairman Jensen, we will definitely provide that summary at the September meeting of the number of citations, the types of citations, and have a law enforcement update given by staff at that September meeting. Thank you.
Yep, thanks. Oh, there's Blake, maybe.
There's Blake. All right.
Blake, you're on.
Some of the experiences we've had in the law enforcement of things during some of these road checks has been primarily...
Say, Blake, can you... Your microphone's not picking up very good.
Let me see. Now
a little better.
Better.
There you go.
I'll shut off my speaker. Maybe that helps. Does that help? All right. So some of the experience we've had in the law enforcement during these road checks, primarily anglers rather than rec boaters, and so focusing our on angling lakes is definitely beneficial. Most everybody that we contact knows about aquatic invasives and knows that they need to clean, drain, dry. They kind of get that. I think going forward, it's going to be extremely important for us to work with our lake associations in order to get the rec boaters informed. We can sit at these boat accesses or checkpoints and check a lot of fishermen on a daily, even weekly basis. But in order to get our message across to some of these rec boaters, I think it's going to have to start at the lake itself with some of the lake association members and then have some of those members talk to their own association members to get their families involved in what's going on. We see a lot of movement through the state. A lot from the south coming north going south, stuff like that. But whenever we're going to have a containment water, it's going to be extremely important to just kind of see what kind of reach that's going to be. One question I do have is Blue Dog and Bitter. Is there, how come those weren't added to those lakes? Just out of curiosity, we can answer that later. But as everything connected, it just kind of has a place in there too. But as far as enforcement efforts, it's a lot of anglers, which is expected. But what we're seeing primarily is going to be boat plug citations. Rarely do we see any water, any live wells. When we do see it, it's pretty much an immediate citation at that point, because that's pretty obvious. So,
thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, we got it. Thank you.
Right. Yep. Thank you.
I'm going to chime up.
Any other comments, questions? We will need a motion to approve emergency rule 41-10-4-6.
So move.
Is there a second? Now, is there any more discussion?
Hi, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Olson.
Once a lake is on this list, is it in perpetuity until it dries up and is no longer a lake, or how long is the timeline on it?
Good question.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, this is Tom. So certainly, once a lake is on this list of containment bodies of water, it would be on there until obviously further action would take place by the commission to remove it. Obviously, that's going to be the result of looking at down the road of the presence of the respective aquatic invasive species, in this case, zebra mussels. And I'd sure ask John to chime in and what that quote unquote lifetime could be. Is that a couple of years? Is that perpetuity? But likely looking into the foreseeable future, these lakes would remain in the containment waters until such status would change in that body of water.
John
Mott, any further response?
I think that's exactly correct, Tom. Really, once you get something established, it'll be there at some level after that point. Certainly might see it where in a new infestation it peaks in abundance within a few years, but over time you'll still have some residual level of population there. The containment water list, the main purpose of it is to trigger the decontamination requirements associated with boats that are either moored there for 3 or more days or that contain water after they've been drained. And that would most likely still stay in effect on any body of water that would have even a residual population of mussels.
Any other questions, comments? Any other questions, comments? So really this is a whole nother kind of infestation in South Dakota, and it's another alarm really to South Dakotans everywhere, I think, east and west and north, south. And rather than get into all that today, we're going to address this in great detail at our September commission meeting. So we're going to reconstitute a group of commissioners and work with the department and hopefully other departments in state government to put together a plan for dealing with this going forward, and looking at funding sources. We need to have adequate funds to address the issue. So we'll leave the rest of that till September. Anybody else want to say anything, have a question, comment? If not, Rachel, let's have the roll call. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Rachel's got to call your name.
Locken?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sharp?
Aye.
Spring?
Aye.
Whitmire?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
All in favor.
All right, so that emergency rule passes. We will address it in a more permanent form at our September meeting. And does anyone else have anything they want to address today on this subject?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Kotelnik, John.
Again, listeners, John Kotelnik, staff attorney. Commissioners, this is for you. You should have an email in your inbox with the form that I need you to sign that you have taken action and passed this emergency rule. I need to get that back as soon as possible because I can't file the emergency rule with the Secretary of State's office until I have those forms. So, and the emergency rule doesn't take effect until it's actually filed with the Secretary of State's office. So if you could print those off, sign it, scan it back to me as soon as possible, it'd be much appreciated. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, John. Anyone else have anything else? If not, we will adjourn until we meet again. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners.
Thank you, Commissioners.